The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the conclusion of the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, raised his hands and blessed them. As he blessed them, he parted from them and was taken up to heaven. They did him homage and then returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple praising God. The Gospel of the Lord. On the Saturday evening mass on Mother's Day weekend, I always feel a little weird saying Happy Mother's Day because it isn't till tomorrow. Last I checked, Mother's Day wasn't a solemnity in the church, so it doesn't really have a vigil, you know? But Happy Mother's Day anyway, because I probably won't see many of you tomorrow. I'm going to go home and see my mom this week, so that'll be nice. I haven't been home since Thanksgiving, so it's been kind of busy. She'll forget who I was. There have been a lot of things going on this week, I have to say. I wonder, a lot of family challenges that have come, phone calls and conversations that have come up. Families, of course, today face a lot of challenges that when I was growing up, we never even thought about. We have difficult times that we live in today for a family. And in the midst of all this, we've got all these teachings about Jesus and his ascension into heaven. "Behold, you are witnesses," he says, "of all these things. And I'm going to send the promise of my Father upon you. And stay, and now you will be clothed with power from on high." In the Gospel of Mark, he says, "Go proclaim the gospel to every creature." In the Acts of the Apostles, in the first reading today, he says, "In a few days you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit." You know, there's never been an account of any of them actually being baptized. So I wonder how much maybe baptism has to do with Pentecost anyway. "In a few days you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You will be my witnesses," he says. "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not will not." I read statements like this and I think to myself, how can we take this so simply? Can we take that statement so simply at face value? How much of the teachings have we encrusted with all these other things, all these years? What if it comes down to being as simple as whether or not we are faithful to our baptism? And if so, what went wrong? A few weeks ago, I wrote a bulletin article. I was writing about Francis's approach to evangelization. And then I was reading that latest apostolic exhortation, I think it's called, that he wrote about the joy of love. And he talks about relationships in the family. And somehow in this document now, the proclamation of the gospel to every creature and relationships in the family and all these things, they all start to run together. So I thought, what a perfect talk for Mother's Day. Because, well, I have to admit, when I go to the Hallmark store and I try to pick out a card for my mom, I don't really ever find the right one. They're either a little bit too nice or a little bit too naive. They might be a little bit too sentimental. They don't really acknowledge the difficulty of relationship in most people's lives, do they? I mean, I think we come to the point sometimes when We have these models in our minds of how things are supposed to be, and then you wonder, how is it the world gets to where it is today? Now, part of this might be because, well, I know a lot of, you know a lot of doctors, right? Do people ever come and talk to doctors when they're well? They don't. So doctors probably think the whole world is sick, right? Because that's all they see. Well, imagine what a priest experiences. Nobody ever comes when they say, I have the greatest relationship with my parents you could ever imagine. It's always like difficulty. It's always, you know, what do I do about this situation? Or what is it that I can do to try to remove the roadblock between us? Francis has a real simple way he talks about this. The way that you would begin the work of going to proclaim the gospel to every creature. It begins with encounter. We encounter one another. We have to be open. We have to be open to one another, whether you agree with somebody or not. That encounter has to take place. If the encounter never takes place, there will never be a dialogue. There will never be a space to learn something different. There will never be conversion. You will just remain encapsulated in your own reality. So if you're not open to dialogue, then you'll never have a relationship, because you can't have a relationship with somebody you don't know. Encounter, dialogue, relationship. It forms the basis of all of Pope Francis's teaching. For Pope Francis, the relationship is the pearl of great price. The relationship is the treasure that you find in the field, that you go and sell everything that you have for that relationship. And I think maybe this is the thing that we forget, especially in our families. I would love to do a study, except that these things have to be done under the seal of confession. I guess we could still do a study. I could ask the priests to just keep a running list of how many sins are committed against brothers and sisters and husbands and wives. It's like everything is against your family, you know? Maybe that's because that's who you're with all the time. Maybe it's because we become too familiar with one another. Maybe we take one another for granted. I listen to the language that people use in the confession. Nobody says, my beloved wife or my dear husband. They say, my spouse. Right? I've never heard any child say, my dear brother or my dear sister. They use the word sibling. I think that's so clinical. That's like one of those euphemisms that you can depersonalize somebody and say, oh, my siblings. I do this to my siblings. I kick the out of them. My siblings. Well, it's okay. It's a sibling. It's not a brother. We depersonalize ourselves and our relationships, especially where families are together. And so we find that there's no peace. If there's no peace in your heart, there can't be peace in your home, there can't be peace in your neighborhood, or in your city, or in your nation, or among nations in the world. And we let all these things kind of take priority over this relationship that is the pearl of great price. Religion and politics. Issues that are in the modern world today that I look at and I think, how could we have gotten to where we are today? Our understanding of sexuality, the basis of family, reverence for one another. Where did all these things come from, and why are we allowing them to be the wedge that's destroying our relationships? Now, you don't have to agree, but I think that if you want to be like Jesus, you can't judge and reject. And what I see a lot of happening is judging and rejecting. Jesus would never judge and reject, because his love is unconditional. Thank God we didn't have to earn it, because we couldn't. And yet he gives it to us anyway, wherever we are. Pope Francis says that Jesus has met us where we are. Think about the disciples on the road to Emmaus. They put their hands up in the air and they said, I've had enough of this. I'm done. And they're on their way out of town. And Jesus walks with them and spends the whole day with them. And he says, This is what you need to know. So the encounter, there was something about him. They listened. They started the dialogue. They formed the relationship. They recognized him in the breaking of bread. And then suddenly he was gone because his work was completed. Because once the relationship was there, what happened? They turned right around and they ran back to Jerusalem because they realized that the relationship was something that could not, nothing could take priority over that. Not their own disappointment, not their own disagreement, whatever it was they were thinking. Francis says that we have to journey with one another throughout life. And we journey with one another not because we agree, but because we love. You have to love first. A good friend of mine put it like this. He said, if a person in your family does something that you don't agree with, you have to love. The appropriate time will come when you can say the appropriate thing. And yet that's your obligation, because that's your faith, or that's what you know to be true. When the appropriate time comes, you'll say the appropriate thing. But in the meantime, he said, just live your life faithful to what you believe. With God, with your church, be generous in giving of yourself. Become strong in the image of Christ, who loves. And that love that you give will form the bridge that will bring about the healing that needs to take place. But the healing will never happen without that love. And so I'm coming around full circle, because I think that the best example that we have of anyone in our world, in our lives, who is able to love that way is a mom. Don't you think? There is something about mothers that they will fiercely hold on to their children regardless. They will defend, they will protect. That's the one thing, that the last thing to go is the protection of a mother. This is not just in human beings either. This is all across God's creation. If our relationships aren't built on this kind of unconditional love, then dialogue will not happen. And we will avoid the encounter. We will have turned backwards the whole process of the way in which the gospel is proclaimed in our world. I think of that woman who was drying Jesus' feet with her hair. By all accounts, she was a big sinner. Everybody knew it, right? Big, big sinner. Capital S. And Jesus said to all of the priests and all of the Pharisees and everybody who was standing around, sipping their champagne, he said, her sins are forgiven, not yours, because she loves very much. We thank our moms today for that example. They do what they can, right? But they still give us that example, and we see it. So we're grateful today, and we ask that God will continue through them to strengthen and to support all those relationships who need to do the homework of dialogue and encounter so that they can be strong, so that we can live in the model of God's love for us in our human families.